This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
With licensed psychologist and guest John Delatorre.
Let's take another look at a clip. This is Brian Elbert Jr. And this is where we've had some very interesting testimony lately that I think may be the nail in the coffin here. Again, not to say that Karen Reed is a murderer, but it was likely her vehicle that did it, and she was probably behind the wheel, and maybe she realizes she did it, maybe she didn't. This is one of the first pieces we saw where someone talks about seeing that black SUV out there in front of the house near the flagpole the night that this all took place.
Yeah, so the first time I looked, I would say it was closer towards the mailbox, maybe a little bit in front of the mailbox. And then the second time, the last time I looked out the window, it had moved further down, closer to, I'll say, the flagpole. So closer that way, it went down that way towards the flagpole.
So that's one person that's saying, you know, I saw this black SUV out there at that point in time. And, you know, I don't think they're denying that she was out there at that time, dropping him off, but that's kind of where that leaves it. And it's an odd place to drop someone off. But again, you don't know what's going on in that car. They seem to have had some sort of an argument, not necessarily to the point of let me murder my boyfriend suddenly. You know, get out of the car. And then, you know, he gets out, she backs up. And I can see that is very easily being explained as, and one more thing I want to say. And, you know, that may be where everything took place. What's your take on that witness, though, and how much that means to the prosecution here?
I think a discerning juror probably doesn't take too much because there's still too many questions. Yes, we know that she dropped him off. Like, we get that. We know that there was strife within the relationship. We get that. But we weren't really there. Mm-hmm. We don't really know how this particular witness judges time. It's certainly possible that he saw, turned away for 5 minutes and then turned back and saw the same thing, right? But for him, it seems like it's all close together, but in reality, it's actually like a long time has elapsed, or we don't know that in reality, it really only lasted 15 seconds or 10 seconds. Like there's still so much that we don't know about. There was snow on the ground, right? It was snowing, right? It was pretty bad in terms of the weather. It was night, everybody's drunk, everybody's drinking, it's late at night. I think it's one of those things where for the prosecution, you're getting points because all of your witnesses are matter of fact, they're straight to the point. Mm-hmm. They answer coolly, calmly, and truthfully. But I think, you know, that only goes so far because really what have you actually proven? And if there's lesser included, then I think that's where the jurors are probably, I don't know that you've proved it, but I think something happened. Let me give the lesser included instead of the top count.
Sure, sure. This is, I think, one of the bigger pieces that we've seen, maybe the most important testimony. This, I guess, would be considered kind of the bombshell that we're going to take a look at. This is Juliana Nagel. Again, it's one of the kids or young adults that was leaving one of the parties that night and saw a black blob out near the flagpole, about 5-6 feet tall or big, at a certain time where it wouldn't necessarily place it to have him beat up and then somebody drug him out there. It's more so he's out there right after Karen got him out of the car. He got out of the car. This is some big stuff. Let's take a look at this one.
As you drive by home, what, if anything, did you observe?
I did notice behind Sarah and Jen, I did notice something out of the ordinary, like a black blob in the ground by the flagpole.
And from where you were situated in the park, do you know sort of what was the lighting like over in that area of the yard that you saw by the flag?
It was pretty dark out, but the snow was kind of heavy at that point, so couldn't really see too much, but...
So the snow's coming down at that point?
Yes.
And if you know about where in relation to the flagpole was this black object that you saw?
I'd probably say, like... close to like the street, but like in their lawn, right kind of in front of the flagpole next to it.
Can you describe how big an object it was that you saw?
I'd probably say like 5 or 6 feet, like, long. But...
And at the time that you're driving by at that point, could you tell what it was?
Not quite sure, no.
When you were passing the property, you did not think it was a body?
At the time, no.
You claim that you told everyone in the car that you saw something, correct?
Correct.
And your friend Sarah said what? Or something to that effect, correct?
Correct.
And there was no further conversation after that, correct?
Not that I can remember.
Did you tell the driver that you saw somebody who was in trouble?
Well, I said it out loud in the car.
So is it your testimony now that you said out loud in the car, there's a person who's in trouble?
That's not what I said, no.
Snowstorm. They've been drinking. They're just going. There's a black blob in the front yard, and you're not used to, you know, bodies being in your front yard. You may not necessarily first jump to the idea that there's a body in the front yard. Her testimony comes across pretty authentic. Is this one of the more damning pieces against Karen?
At some points I do think so. At others, I'm not entirely convinced, because a good defense attorney could easily cross-examine and say, well, if you really thought that this was something pretty severe, then why didn't you do more to try to stop the car and go check it out? If you thought you saw a dead body, now you're seeing a dead body. Now you know it's a dead body, but that's because you're being told, right? Sure. So you're being triggered to see it now. But if you really thought that that's what you saw at the time, how come you didn't do more to do more? So it's good because of timing, but I don't know that it's really quite there just yet.
Isn't it hindsight's kind of 20/20 on this, though? Because at the time, she did not think that it was a body. And you look at it back later and going, oh, well, that must have been what it was. It doesn't necessarily dismiss that it wasn't a body. It just kind of dismisses that she didn't do anything at the time because she didn't understand the gravity of what she was seeing. But if you just kind of put the pieces together, it clearly seems like that's what she saw. The argument would be, why didn't you do more? But that's a simple. If you didn't know there was a gravity to what you saw, you just, maybe it's a trash bag or I don't know, something out there in the middle of that snowstorm, it would be understandable that you didn't do anything.
Well, I think that's part of kind of what's going on when it comes to eyewitness testimony and memory just at all, because yeah. How can you then go on the stand and say, well, I'm telling all these people, you know, I think I see something. Like, if you see something that you know is out of place and it makes you uncomfortable enough to say, hey, there's something weird out there, then you should already, right? So a jury would be thinking, well, if it's made you uncomfortable that you needed to say out loud that something is weird out there, then why didn't you do more to kind of figure out if it's out of place, why didn't you do more to kind of do something about it?
Yeah.
But in reality, you know, you're right, which is, well, I didn't know what it was and it's snowing and I don't want to stop the car because it puts me in danger, puts everybody that I'm with in danger. And so this leads back to the messiness of everything. Yeah. And a jury can easily say, well, I mean, sure, she knows it's a dead body now, but she didn't know that it was a dead body then. How do we know that it was even a dead body at the time? It could have been him. And it could have been him still alive.
Yeah, I mean, he could have been laying there alive at that moment in time. We don't really know the answer to that. I mean, it's another comparison can make. You know, you drive down the highway, you see trash, you see big bags and stuff way off in the distance or off on the side of the road. Potentially, there could be bodies in those. But you don't stop and look at every single bag and go, is there a body in here? You just assume it's probably trash that's in some sort of large thing or something that's off to the side, especially if you're in a snowstorm. No, it's not that reasonable to expect everyone to stop the second they see something that may be out of place and assume it's a body, you know?
And then it comes across as extremely convenient that now that there's a case in which you were driving past that road, that now all of a sudden you remember. Right. You quote unquote remember seeing something out of place.
Yeah.
When stuff is out of place all of the time.
Yeah. Yeah, very true. Very true. Still, more questions and answers in this one. It's going to be fascinating to see where this goes, especially when some expert witnesses come in and start their testimony. And we'll, of course, keep talking about that as it winds down.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.